Greetings. Happy Friday. Steve Dace is here. Sadly, with a full crew. That's right. Still on baby watch over at the McIntyre household. But you're looking more tired than you were earlier in the week, which is getting me maybe optimistic that things may break here soon.
I don't know about that. I mean, I've gotten up early the last couple of days to get my treadmill time in, trying to get that started up again. So
right.
That's probably the
that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We keep saying we hope we don't see you tomorrow, and we keep seeing you.
Maybe you should stop saying that.
Are we jinxing it?
Yeah.
Although, you know what? You got a full good... If we're going to do a two-minute or two-week paternity leave over the weekend is great timing.
Yes.
It cuts everything, clean, and it's a clean break for everybody.
That's what happened with Ben. He came on a
that's
Friday
true.
Night.
It did.
Into Saturday.
Yeah. And Todd, how disappointed were you to see Aaron today?
I can take it.
I mean, except for
it.
All the other reasons you're typically disappointed to see him.
I could take it or leave it.
You could?
Good. Yeah. I mean, I think this is... Timing is going to be perfect. Nothing to worry about.
Don't have, in the all natural, let's watch Ricky Lake give birth at home in a wading pool.
Might happen.
You don't have, you have no tips for the McIntyres? No, disco dancing, something? Might shake some things loose?
I've given them all the tips. Be active. And that's, there's long walks, there's intimacy with you. This all works. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. And then my children are all 5, 7, 5, and 10 days late. It's all good.
So you're an old pro at this.
Believe me,
Todd and Jill and Aaron and Bella are all on the same wavelength as far as birthing goes.
Okay. All right. We will be joined here in a matter of minutes by our good friend Tracy Beans over at Uncovered DC. She'll be here for the Dace Group. Who knows? Maybe she's got some tips for the McIntyres, too, of how to get the baby to come out. We'll ask her about that, maybe, or maybe we won't. This part of the show, and really the whole show, brought to you by our friends over at First Cup Coffee Company. They've got a flavor for every patriot-loving American, and if you want to take advantage of that, it's a coffee company that, first and foremost, makes great coffee. Just ask Aaron. But more importantly, or just as importantly, they also support your values, because it's more important to actually do a great product. And then the fact that you can, on top of that, give money to people who share the same value system as you do and keep building that parallel economy, that's just an added bonus. All right. So go to firstcup.com, use my last name, Dace, as your promo code, and you'll get 10% off when you do at firstcup.com. If you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off for the life of your subscription at firstcup.com. Use the promo code Dace. And if you miss this on Wednesday, we debuted what I think could very well be the most important piece of content that we have produced in the 5.5 years, at least, that our show has been associated with this network. If you've ever wondered, how do people go to government and get rich while they're in government? How does that work? Typically you had to invent something or be, excellent at something. You had to, maybe you get a job on Wall Street or, right? There were, kind of traditional paths to getting mind-numbingly rich. Now just get elected to Congress. Drive the country into the ground. I saw yesterday Speaker Mike Johnson saying,
that's coming up.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that then. I won't spoil it. But, this is why you need to see this. Names are mentioned on both sides of the aisle. Actual dollar amounts are put out there. This is must-see TV. It's called Bought and Paid For: How Politicians Get Filthy Rich. It's available now only on Blaze TV. If you want to see this, go to DaceOriginals.com, my last name. So that gives you the promo code for $30 off an annual subscription right away. All right. DaceOriginals.com. I promise you, this will not disappoint, and stay all the way to the end. Agreed?
Oh, absolutely.
Stay all the way to the end. But I'm going to tell you right now, you may need, after seeing this, might need to go get a workout in, particularly with a punching bag. The bile will rise, okay? Go to DaceOriginals.com and get $30 off at DaceOriginals.com. You do not want to miss Bought and Paid For. It's fantastic and infuriating. And we have coming up next hour, your turn on a Feedback Friday. But before all of that, let's get it started with the Dace Group. There she is. Say hello to Tracy. Good to have you back with us, Tracy. Thank you for being with us on a Friday. It is your weekly look at the week that was. Let's get it started, as we always do, at least when Aaron is here, with issue one, Bleep, Lord Nefarious Says.
Coach, you just talked about, you know, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate, discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males, in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Damn, you got deep on me, didn't you? I'm under the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play.
Do you have any studies that show that trans women have physical advantage over what I'm going to call cis girls, what you call biological girls, in sports?
A full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
When we misuse pronouns and when we intentionally or deliberately misuse them or choose not to be careful, we're sending messages to our kids also that we don't care how they're seeing the world, and we are willing to do them harm.
I look like someone who has a mental disorder? I mean, some people would say that in the affirmative, but that was a rhetorical question.
It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
Did Arizona go too far?
Did Arizona go too far?
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security.
We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
This total ban on abortion that the Arizona Supreme Court just ruled on is out of line with where the people of this state are.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
I'd like to go back and talk to election night or election day 2022, Steve, and tell him, as he had just spent an entire election cycle basically drooling over Carrie Lake and is anticipating very much that she's going to be elected governor of Arizona that night, I would like to go back and tell him that in a year and a half, the employee that you rely on to literally produce almost any signature piece of broadcast talent is going to include her in Bleep Lord Nefarious Says. And you won't be able or have a rationale or a reason justifiable other than your own crush to push back and argue with it. I'm sitting there that afternoon at Blaze Studios with the red shirt waiting for the red wave, posing with the Christopher Reeve Superman suit that Glenn's got sitting there in the front office, and you come and tell me that? better have your dukes up, man. I mean, we are throwing hands. And yet, here we are.
Either die a hero.
It doesn't take, you don't have to live very long to become the villain these days. No. Have you noticed that? About 10, 15 minutes? I mean, we're becoming villains, Tracy, like, you know, the lifespan of a gnat. 20 minutes, quick mate, and you're dead. Okay? So, Tracy, let us go to you. You have waited long enough. Ladies first, and you're the guest. What was the worst of the worst that you just witnessed?
It was stuck. I'm stuck between Johnson and the transgender stuff because I've been working so much on that topic over the past couple weeks. I just did a whole big report this week on how the American taxpayer is paying for gender assignment surgeries in the military. So I think that between the first few clips and the Mike Johnson, I'm kind of tied. The Mike Johnson one a little bit more because we did a space, Steve, with Thomas Massey to raise some money for him. And I asked him straight out, why do people do this? Why do people change their mind on FISA, on 702? And he told me literally word for word, Chip Roy was in there too, exactly what Mike Johnson just said and what he just did. He's like, this is what they do. They get the congressmen that are, you know, against it, and they scoop them up and they give them a classified briefing, and they tell them how scary the world is and how if we don't have this, then everything's going to go wrong and blah, blah, blah. And they buy it, and then warrantless searches are just illegal throughout the land. So,
Tracy, I know we are redefining things nowadays, like, you know, what's a woman, for example, redefining things. Do you know when we changed the term wrote me a check to classified briefing? Do you know when that term changed and evolved as well? Did we get the memo on that? Or we just break some news here on the show that wrote me a check now means or showed me something going on in my personal life? Wrote me a check or showed me something going on in my personal life now means classified briefing. Is it? Aaron, make a note of that and make sure Victoria knows that for when you're gone for 2 weeks and she's filling in. New terminology just dropped. Wrote me a check or showed me something going on in my personal life that's embarrassing now means classified briefing. Do I have that right, Tracy? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It actually happened at the same time as they changed the definition of pro-life.
What a week. By the way, that Mike Johnson thing, guys, just that's a total, you know, I don't even know what to say.
This isn't going well, Steve.
I know.
Can we talk about Taylor Swift?
Yeah, but you want to talk about a lost the plot moment. What Mike Johnson is saying is you're not in charge of your government. He's admitting this, that your priorities and laments are not the priorities and laments of your elected officials, but the priorities and laments of government are there. Priorities and laments. He's openly admitting this under the guise, of course, of a biblical worldview. And I hate everyone that played a hand in making this guy speaker for this decision, because we could have gotten all these things from McCarthy and I could have blamed it all on him. And now I've got a guy claiming biblical worldview with one of the highest profiles in America doing this stuff to us, which just makes what we're trying to do here even harder and harder. Go ahead, Tracy. I'm sorry.
I so much to say. Like, don't worry, guys. You guys don't need to know. You don't need to know what this classified briefing is. We're here to take care of you. And it's we need this. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about all that information behind the curtain. It's not of your concern. You guys aren't smart enough. You know, you're not equipped to handle the level of classified briefing that I just got so that I can protect you from the boogeyman out there, which actually is just the intelligence community. That's basically what he said. It's
remember when this was the most important election of our lifetimes?
Yeah, look at you. Look at you.
Segue.
Come here, you. Yeah!
I am.
Love it. We're there.
Oh, Todd.
Well, I think we've solved it. I don't need to run for Congress anymore. You know why I wanted to find out
just
what happens.
Just to see what goes on there that makes everybody lose their damn souls.
The check leveraged or leveraged by the FBI. One or the other. I mean, it's one or the other. And Tracy, you're right over the target in talking about I don't know what to choose. Mike Johnson or the trans. Well, it's the exact same thing. Mike Johnson there. Well, I thought this and then I did this is the same person as Dawn Staley. The exact same right there. When the wheels are grinding, Are you familiar with Dawn Staley at all?
She by the way, claims a biblical worldview, too.
Yeah. They're the same. That's what I'm saying. I was going to get to that. They're the same person. Oh, after she lost, Lord. She's not a shrinking violet either. She has opinions about everything.
Yes,
and
does.
Then you ask her about this and like,
chocolate, vanilla, strawberry.
It's the same exact thing. I don't need to run for Congress. I don't need to be a NCAA coach. I know what happens. They are simply either bought or they are leveraged.
Or cowards.
Well, they're all that's an evergreen, Steve. I mean, yes, they're all evergreens, but that's how you get to cowards. You either leverage them or you buy them. This is not complicated. And these two people are able to be used this way, and this is where it gets worse, because we sit back, don't sit there and like, if only I... No, you're the problem too. You're the same out there. This is the problem. There's nobody out... If there was this great population out there that really was just like, oh no, it's on, none of this would be happening. But everybody knows that they can be easily leveraged like this, because no one will ever take the reins. No one will take it back. We are all Dawn Staley. We are all Mike Johnson.
When we do it, when we take the reins back, we get scolded for it. Oh, they're a great company. Buy the beer.
Yeah. They paid Dana White $100 million. Yeah, just stop hurting a great American company. Correct.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come on, guys. Just let it go. Just buy the beer.
Yeah, that's the everyone I'm talking about. Tracy's absolutely right.
The only thing consistent on our side, as the great prophet, known as Glenn Frey, once saying, the grift is on. I mean, it's on your screens. The grift is on. That's the only thing that is consistent on our side. And it's not even consistent who's getting the grift. Whole new people. I mean, 20 years ago, National Review was the grifters in order to put Mitt Romney on its cover as the next Ronald Reagan. And we just now, you get $100 million of grift to Dana White, and suddenly your sins are absolved. That's the one thing that is consistent about the American right, is that the grift is on. It's always on. All right. Meanwhile, over there, they're just doing the long march to the institutions while we're out here counting our increasingly declining U.S. dollars. Aaron.
Well, this has been a very serious and dour and deservedly so reaction to Bleep Lord Nefarious says this week. I will say what my favorite part of the montage, if I may say so myself, which I'm going to do thusly.
Indeed, rate yourself.
Yes, rate myself. I think it's the...
You have 100% biblical worldview. You are qualified.
Indeed, I do.
Yes.
The state legislator out in Colorado, I believe it was a state legislator. I'm not totally sure about that. Either somebody giving testimony, getting up there to the lectern and saying, do I look like somebody who has a mental illness? And then the look on that guy's face and the sound, the timbre in his voice as he realizes what he just spoke out into the ether. Instant regret. Please don't answer that question. It was rhetorical. That was my best. That's the best. That might be my best of the week in overtime, actually, is just the instant regret on that Transformers face and in his voice when he said or asked out loud, do I look like somebody with a mental illness? Please don't answer.
Exit question. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being how likely you had Trump, who overturned Roe, attacking Lindsey Graham, who when I was working on the Ted Cruz presidential campaign told us that Ted was too pro-life to be president, and that Trump would be attacking Grahamnesty from the left on the abortion issue. If you had this on your 2024 bingo card, those would be the odds of maybe 1. 10 being the odds that you hate 2024 already. Rank this week's level of total depravity, Aaron.
10.
Tracy.
7.
Man.
That answer scares me.
Yeah, I know.
Todd.
I know.
Good grief.
Because I really thought that montage was a solid 28. All right.
Remember after 2016 when I said the next year was going to be worse? And
I hated you for it?
And every year since then?
And I hated you for it. Every single time you've said it. Yes. And I hate you a lot. Yes.
There it is.
All right. Let's get to issue 2. Is it really the most important election of our lifetimes?
Learning Chinese today. Today's phrase is probably not.
All
right.
I told you it was short.
You did. But it packed a punch. We're doing this topic so we hold me accountable to the same standard I like to hold everybody else. Because I have been pretty adamant about this since January of 23. All right. But here's the thing. I have to be honest. I mean, it should be, given what is at stake. I mean, go through all the cost of living increases on the various items we talked about on the show yesterday. I mean, it should be, right? I mean, we went from Abrahamic Accords to now we're concerned that Iran may attack Israel and really blow up what's going on in the Middle East beyond even what we're seeing now, right? It should be, right? Mm-hmm. It should be. But it seems like we are collectively behaving as it is not on a daily basis. I mean, just look at this week. Of all the issues facing the country, we've only heard Joe Biden speak about canceling student loan debt. And for reasons only Allah knows, of all the things to finally come out of the Mar-a-Lago cocktail lounge and discuss, Trump decides, hey, let me throw a turd in the punch bowl of my own base and try to turn the Republicans into a pro-choice party in April. When there's literally 5,000 things he could have come out and attacked Joe Biden on and advanced his own message, he decided to point his weapon at his own side in a very McCain-Romney-esque play and not eat the chicken sandwich. What the hell is this? And so I got to ask, because I think given the stakes, it should be. But our behavior completely and when I say our collectively, the collective body politic, which frankly, doing what we all do for a living, we're a part of, the collective behavior of both candidates, media, everything on every side of the body politic says it's really not that serious. It does not really that much going on. Just whatever, man. Whatevs.
Well, you know what I think? I mean, I've said it out loud on this show months ago. It's not the most. And it's because of what I said in my first answer. Collective us. We're all Don Staley. We're all Mike Johnson. We can point fingers and say that's stupid. Most of us behave that way in our lives. Most of
us... Are people still talking to you about the foul call and the UConn-Iowa women's basketball game from last week? Is that still in your feed?
Yeah. In Iowa, there's what Iowa evangelicals voted for in a 2-1 margin. Down in Arkansas, where my daughter goes to college, they're right there. Somebody rightly pointed out that the way they welcome their new basketball coach into town was like literally a cult welcoming its new leader. We have all kind of things we care so much more about than being citizens of the United States of America, the only nation ever founded by a creed where our rights are God-given. And we all know this to be true. How can it possibly be the most important election of our lifetime when people so obviously don't give a rip?
Aaron.
Depending on the day, I fit the category that you just ended on, Todd. Sometimes I just don't give a rip. And I think some of your sentiment, Steve, not all, but some of your sentiment can just be attributed to both of these candidates, both being Biden and Trump, are known quantities. Both of them are old, either 80s or pushing 80s. So that I think that can be attributable to those two factors, but that's not all.
They can't run at the same pace of what we're accustomed to in a presidential election.
And there's just no sense of, hey, is this truly a change agent? Is this truly a moment in history? That's just harder to reach that conclusion when you have two very, very well-known individuals who most of the country, quite frankly, I believe still has their mind made up over. And even amongst the right wing, who maybe were on the other side, although the small side, as we saw, of the primary, wished for a different result, desired a different result, but have come to the conclusion of, we got to vote for Donald Trump. Even a lot of those people are tired of this axiom that we've developed here, of this kind of this dual choice, or maybe lesser of two evils. I think a lot of those people are tired of this. So there's just not as much energy surrounding this election, even though it is important. I mean, I go back and forth every single day on this. When I came in this morning, I saw this topic again. I saw earlier this week and I kind of rolled my eyes, hence the very short intro. I had Donald Trump and Carrie Lake and Mike Johnson, Mr. Biblical Worldview, in bleep Lord Nefarious says. I was just ready to burn it all down. And then just to show you how My thinking is kind of fluid, or if, depending on your perspective, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Maybe some of you will tweet that at me. I saw this tweet. It was a lengthy tweet from William Wolfe, executive director of Baptist Leadership Center or something like that, Center for Baptist Leadership. And he went through and just itemized all of the items about the Biden administration. They're anti-human, they're anti-liberty, they're anti-anti. And it's just impossible. If you were an objective observer, especially from the right, it's impossible to argue with his assessment of the Biden administration. But what really gets me, regardless of whether you what side of this you come down when it pertains to Trump, he says this, and this is what got me. For too long, Christians have turned voting into some third sacrament. We sacralized it. That's not what it is. It's a stewardship that must be applied with prudence. Politics is the prudential application of our principles for the governance of a people. Or that's a nicer way of saying politics is civil war. And basically saying you may not like Trump. He's, I think, William Wolfe, I've seen as well, pretty critical of what Trump did this week on the life issue. Still says a vote for Trump is a vote against the anti-humans. It's a vote against the communists who are actually running the show in the White House. I don't know what side of that I come down on any given day, but I think that about Christians turning this into a sacrament, that was blown out of the water in 2016. A lot of the people who held on to that, a lot of the people, not all the people, but a lot of the people who held on to that, I ended up being like David French. So again, my message is the same as it was, I think, yesterday. Don't overthink this one way or another.
Tracy, we've got 2 minutes, but they belong to you. Go ahead for the last word.
People aren't thinking about the fact that we are tired. And Aaron, you mentioned it a couple times. We're tired. I sometimes think back and say, you know what? Maybe this entire thing they did with Spygate and the impeachments and COVID was just to make people so sick and tired of politics that they stopped paying attention altogether, right? We used to have breaks. Steve, you remember, we used to have breaks between elections. We have been in campaign mode
for
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had a break, not a breath. It's constant, 24/7, every news channel. Eventually, if you're an everyday American, your spirit gets broken from that, and you need to touch some damn grass. And I think that's what people are doing now. They're saying, forget it. I know who these two people are. I need to touch some grass and maintain my sanity and enjoy my life for some part of it. And they don't really, they have to. I mean, it's self-preservation after what we've been put through. And I'm in the business, and I'm like, more like nothing surprises me anymore. That's why I had a 7. That's normal. That's normal now. And is it our fault? No, I don't think it is, because we're the ones screaming about it, but that is where we are. And I think until people get to the point where they are unable to go to yoga and so angry that they can't help themselves, we're going to be stuck in this hellhole that we're in right now.
That is a strangely optimistic take. All right, that people are fed up and are just saying, I got to take a break from this for a while. So that's probably the most optimistic take possible.
You're saying because they're fed up instead of numb.
Yes, because the alternative is what you said earlier. Yeah. All right, let's get to the exit question. Besides president, what do you think is the most important race this year and why? Quickly, Aaron.
Oh, man. I don't know. Let's just say Arizona Senate, just because I want to see what that line of running on. I was in favor of Arizona's law. Now I'm opposed to it. I just want to see how that turns out.
Okay, Todd.
Well, I think you maybe within the last month you texted something about how favorable. Didn't you say how favorable the U.S. Senate is?
Yeah, I think they could lose Arizona and still hold the Senate. But that'll be one of my predictions later, so don't spoil it.
Oh,
so go.
I think that's it. I mean, that should be a Senate takeover. So I think red wave or not.
What do you think, Tracy?
I think the primary between Jim Justice and, I'm forgetting his name now. Somebody help me. Jim Justice in West Virginia.
Sure, the West Virginia.
The primary. Yeah. The Senate primary. That's the most important one, because we, in my opinion, do not need a 77-year-old liberal as a senator, a la Mitt Romney. So that's an important race, West Virginia.
Yeah, Justice has aggressively poisoned many West Virginians over the last few years, for sure.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. And we're going to look at the election a little more analytically with trends next. are so proud of our partnership here at The Blaze with our friends over at Preborn. They have, with their approach, it's amazing. You know, you line up your methods and principles with the only undefeated being in the history of the cosmos reveals, and you tend to be more successful than when you don't. Used to crack me up when people told me I wasn't pragmatic enough, and I'm like, what is more pragmatic than the most powerful being in the cosmos put his thoughts into a book? Let's read it and do what he said. What's more pragmatic than do what the undefeated guy did? Do you know what's more pragmatic than that, Todd?
No.
I don't either. That's why we try to do that as often as we can on the show.
Correct.
Our friends over at Preborn, they do that. They understand that that true persuasion and heart change and conviction comes when you have truth and grace. You have them both. And so they meet mothers out on the street or at their clinics who are thinking of murdering their children. They confront them with the truth via ultrasound that is a person, has its own heartbeat. That's not a clump of cells. Okay, that's its own person that you are contemplating killing. And that approach over the years, followed by grace. You know, one thing we do sometimes, if not too often, on the pro-life side is we romanticize too much what it means when a woman in a crisis pregnancy chooses life. My mom did at 15. That wasn't a happy story for many years. I mean, she had to drop out of school, go back get her GED. You know, she's in a situation now where, you know, maybe she's not making the most, she's not taking a responsible amount of time, maybe marrying a guy that she met for a couple of weeks. You think it's true love, but turns out he's got a lot of demons. I mean, this was not an easy way to live. Now, my mom would tell you now, 50 years later, it's the best mistake she ever made. But this is why they need grace, too. These moms that choose life, they're not contemplating killing their children most of the time because they're in a fulfilling relationship, but because they're not. Okay? And that's where they come in with prenatal care, postnatal care. All of that is also done free of charge, provided they've got donations that are tax deductible from people like us. If you'd like to make one, dial #250, say the keyword baby on your mobile phone. That's #250, say the keyword baby, or do what our family does when we donate. This is even simpler. Just go to preborn.com/Steve. That's preborn.com/Steve. Let's welcome back in Tracy Beans here for this week's Dace Group from Uncovered DC. Also mention your podcast that you do every morning, Tracy, and where people can see that if they want.
Dark to Light. It's Dark to Light. You can see it on Rumble or on X or on Getter, and then it drops audio where all podcasts are listened to at 2:30.
All right. There you go. Let's get to issue 3 of your weekly look at the week that was. What's changed here in just about 60 days?
According to Polymarket, a leader in political betting, here are the current odds for who will win each swing state come November. In Pennsylvania, Biden has the edge, 58-42%. In Wisconsin, Biden has a 6-point lead, 53-47%. In Michigan, Biden's up 55-45%. Nevada, Biden's up 52-48%. In Arizona, Trump leads by 2, 50-48%. In Georgia, Trump leads by 16 percentage points, 58-42%. And in North Carolina, Trump leads 70%-30%. Again, those are betting odds, according to Polymarket. Back in February, Polymarket had Donald Trump with a 20% better chance of beating Joe Biden, 53%-33%. Now that lead is down to 2 points, 46%-44%.
All right. Let's talk about what's happened here. 60 days ago on Valentine's Day, Trump held a 19-point lead in the betting markets. That is gone. You just saw how this is now being quantified on a swing state by swing state basis. So let's take off our, you know, woe and lamentation hats about the state of things on a moral basis. And let's put on our thinking caps of looking at things just purely technocratically and analytically for a few minutes, okay? What in the world has changed in the last 60 days to merit such precipitous changes and evolutions in the odds for an election that is still 29 and a half weeks away? Tracy, I'll start with you.
Nothing. What's changed is what kind of information these people want everyone to see. I don't think that this stuff, I mean, who's using the betting odds now to place a bet on the presidential election? Mm-hmm. If it's going, you know, you're seeing a 20-point swing in 60 days and you're like, oh, I'm going to throw my money. Like, None of this is real. It's all fake. It's all fake. None of it's real. I have no idea what's going on out there. I don't trust any of these people. I don't think anything's changed. I think there's some man sitting up there, not God, some man sitting up there saying, let's see what happens if we push this button. And then just watching the
everything's
metric.
A psyop, basically. Yeah.
Just saying. That's what I think.
So let me throw another element into this, because somebody drew my attention to this last night. And we had already picked this topic for the rundown before someone passed this information on to me. In the last month since it went IPO, Trump's Truth Social has lost 60% of its stock value, right? So betting odds, if you know anything about betting odds, are not much different. Any form of speculative market operates on two things primarily: public perception, inside information. Right? Does somebody know something that other people don't know? Okay, and it's a little bit like, you know, wow, why is, you know, this team suddenly why'd the point spread change? And you find out like 48 hours later their quarterback's hurt, you didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So they're always driven by public perception and inside information. Is it possible these two events are tied together one way or the other? Because the trend line of his IPO lines up exactly with what we're seeing in the betting markets, or are they just the same people reacting to the same public perception that's investing by and large in both markets? Or maybe you don't care, but I just wanted to throw that in, Todd.
Well, my answer was going to be exactly, and I mean exactly, what Tracy said. But here's the difference with betting markets in general, sports betting, and what's going on here. Steve, in the past, you've kind of instructed the audience and me by extension about what the big money guys, the sharps, or
they're called sharps, yeah, or professionals.
But if they're too hot or something like that, like they'll be like actually like pushed out for a while, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's actually a ledger, that people are, you know,
most sharps cannot bet at a sports book. Okay. They have to hire runners to place bets for them, because they're too good and they've made too much money and the books won't take their bets.
There's a baseline, a financial baseline that everybody understands and knows, and those are they weigh those variables that goes in. Here's the difference in this election, and that's why Tracy's there. That does not exist here. There are people putting their thumbs on the scale. No. That there's not going to be a pushback on this. This is why people talk about the deep state is dead on. The deep state rules all. There is not, we keep talking about on multiple issues, whether it's COVID, common sense kicks in. The rubber band bounces back. No, it doesn't. Not on this. That's why even on something like this, Steve, where you have rightly said in sports in the past, trying to outthink the bettors on this kind of stuff because they want to make money, that does not apply to this election. This is a psyop, pure and simple. It's all psychological. It has no monetary, ultimately, baseline.
So are you claiming that this isn't an attempt to capitalize on a market? This isn't an attempt to influence have the market perception influence public perception the other way around?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That the market's not reacting to public perception, sort of kind of what Tracy was saying. It's trying to alter it.
Yeah, it's totally
trying to influence.
It's a totally upside down world.
Okay, that's fascinating.
But we think otherwise.
Okay, that's fascinating. I'm not saying you're wrong. I hadn't even considered that, actually, Aaron.
So I not knowing that that's where Todd was going to go. It is one thing when you talk about sports betting, there are, again, analytics, trends, algorithms,
injury reports,
insider information.
And this stuff's happening all the time.
And it's, happening in real time. And you can get a pretty good bead, even though it's maybe not, you can get a pretty good bead on what is a good number to set on a game, over, under, spread, based on where the action is. Okay, that's basic. So the opening line that they set, that's what the bookmakers think that not necessarily the result is. It's their educated forecast of, based on all of that information, what they think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That trend, that line moves back and forth. In this, though, how would bookmakers account for 3 a.m. ballot drops? Yeah. I just remember back on election night 2020, there's a sports bettor who's pretty good, I think,
that I follow on Twitter. It's just a fun account to follow. Nothing more than that. He was following the election results, and he was getting these just insane numbers in places like Georgia. And he's like, man, you gotta pound this till the cows come home. And then a couple of, an hour later, the results New ballots just dropped. Yeah. And it's like, what is going on? And I remember reading a tweet from him at about 11 p.m. saying, this is nuts. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So I had actually more respect maybe for betting markets prior to 2020 than I do now. So along the lines of what Tracy was saying, it's kind of all astroturf. It's kind of just fake right now. Yep. And whether it's the motivation of we're trying to use these betting markets to shape public opinion in the same way that we've surmised or at least theorized that polls are being used and have been used in the past, in the recent past, to do the same thing. I don't know what the case is. I just think in my heart of hearts, my gut reaction is they're just not reliable snapshots, not even snapshots of where we are.
Okay. Well, let's get to it. Go ahead quickly.
Can I add one thing?
Yep,
I'm
quickly.
So sorry.
Yep.
How many real insiders do you think there are, contrary to how many grifter insiders there actually are, and how are those people influencing markets? That's all I will say.
That's an important distinction, because you can't do that in sports wagering, because you're not playing in the game. You're not making the coaching decisions. In this case, though, you might be able to get a hold of the candidates or be involved in the campaigns and have much more directly influence these things. That's an interesting point. So thank you for interjecting that. Let's get to the exit question. Speaking of useless projections, let's get to one. All right. So 30 weeks out, this is my current projection of where I think, if the election were today, what I think would occur. I think the Democrats would win 275 to 263 in the Electoral College. Agree or disagree, Todd?
Agree.
Tracy, what do you think?
Disagree.
Disagree which way?
I think the Democrats will have a few more states.
You think they would win a few more states? Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Yeah, I largely agree. This is the exact map, despite the fact that Pauli Market, I believe, this is the exact map that Pauli Market has, despite the fact that they have Donald Trump with a better odds of winning in November. This is the exact map they have.
All right, before we get to our kicker topic, folks, the attack on excellence in America is putting all of our futures at risk. In the name of diversity, standards are being lowered everywhere, like the American Medical Association recently just said, hey, medicine is imbued with white supremacy. So we're going to lower the standards on medical school entrance tests. Translation, you want to become a liability insurance salesman. That's what that really also means. All right. But you can read about this and more in the latest issue of Imprimis. That's Hillsdale College's free digest of liberty that goes to more than 6.5 million homes and businesses. Imprimis gives you smart constitutional commentary from the likes of Christopher Russo, Victor Davis Hanson, and so many more. If you want to get a free copy of this, absolutely no cost or obligation, sign up today at daceforhillsdale.com, F-O-R, daceforhillsdale.com. Again, daceforhillsdale.com. All right, quickly on the kicker topic. If you could change one thing about this election cycle that we are having right now, anything, what would it be and why, Todd?
It would be a day of election only, no mail-in ballots, nothing.
Nothing. To just vote on the day of.
Nothing. I don't care if you're too old or infirm to get there. It doesn't matter. You can only vote the day of.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aaron.
RFK Jr. chooses Mike Rowe as his running mate.
I think we'd all be in favor of that, too. Tracy Beans or a druid who went to Burning Man celebrations from BlackRock. Yeah. Or you could do that instead. Do that instead. All right, Tracy, go ahead.
I would change the focus on the down ballot races and have the American people more focused on those than the presidency.
All excellent suggestions by all three of you. I can't imagine there's too many people in our audience that would disagree with any of the three. All very well done. All right, let's get to our predictions. Aaron, I'll let you start.
I predict that I will not be back on Monday. I've been predicting that all week. I'm just going.
Now you've jinxed it.
Hit me on the roulette wheel.
By the way, Aaron, and maybe this is good news for your weekend, but I have received several emails from women, and they have confirmed that what Todd said, intimacy is a great way to get things going.
Oh, we know this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I've just so there are many wives in this audience that have your back right now, Aaron. You need to know that.
Good. Okay. Good. Didn't need to know that, but that's good.
Tracy's look.
Okay. The look on Tracy's face was good. All right, Todd, go ahead.
What was I going to... Oh.
Predictions, yes.
I think next year's viewership of the Indiana Fever women's professional basketball team is actually going to exceed many men's NBA teams.
I could see that, looking at what happened in the collegiate ranks. And NBA ratings really aren't that great.
Right, that's what...
But I mean, they're far and away better than what the WNBA has had. But yeah.
But
we'll be, here's what I think would be fascinating. College basketball games next year, even like in the Final Four for women, vis-a-vis Caitlin Clark in the WNBA, what's that ratings comparison? Like, how much of that audience do they retain after she is gone, right? All right, Tracy, what's your prediction?
It changed from this morning because I'm going to say I predict that Shannon Joy will continue to destroy Jerome Adams on Twitter or X.
That's not a prediction.
That's right. That's like a fetish.
So did you see Jerome Adams clapped back at her and said,
yep.
Oh, you must be voting for the communists then if you don't affirm my decision to wear a mask in 2024.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't affirm my...
That's a hell of a take, bro.
If you don't affirm me wearing the symbols of Marxism, you must be a Marxist.
But remember, trust your healthcare experts, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're only hiring the best people here. Jerome Adams is, if you follow him on Twitter, he is a certifiable psycho. An absolute psychopath.
That's true, but here's the problem. Medicine is full of him. He's not a one-off at all.
We painfully learned this the last few years. Yes, we did. My prediction, Aaron, mark the tape.
Uh-oh.
I know you were proud of me earlier, Todd. I can't help myself, okay? I can't. Guys, I look at this Senate map, man, and even if Kari Lake craps the bed again, which is looking increasingly likely, I don't see how Republicans can't win.
I was talking about.
I don't think even Republicans could screw up this Senate map, man. I'm not saying it'd be good if a lot of these Republican senators got into office. That's a whole other topic. They'll make us regret probably starting in January. But I look at this map and I can't see how they could possibly screw this up.
But this is exactly why I said, without having looked at what your prediction was going to be, the overall Senate election is going to be the most interesting. Because if we just don't get that red wave again on that front, do we learn any lessons that time?
I think we're good at learning lessons, Todd.
Set your feet!
Tracy, good to see you. Have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you for joining us. We'll come back. It'll be Feedback Friday when we do. Stay tuned. All right, back here on the Steve Dace Show. Here on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I'm Steve Dace with Todd Erz and Aaron McIntyre. And, of course, we're joined by all of you. And you can all, though hopefully not all at once, let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. Just email us to do that, steve@SteveDace.com. Or you can like us on Facebook, MeWe, and Gab. You can follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Getter, Instagram, and TikTok. The last name, by the way, in case you had forgotten. It's DEACE. And then if you are a podcast aficionado, we appreciate you. You're a big part of our audience. Please, if you have yet to do this, or even if you have, see if you can do it again. Leave us a 5-star review on the podcast platform that you prefer. And then you can also, on that same platform, hit subscribe, or if that platform is iTunes, it's follow. Hit those little icons there. And then every time we do a new show, that means every time it shows up in your feed. And thank you to all of you that have done that for us as well. Thanks to our friends over at Fume for sponsoring this part of the Steve Dace Show. If you've ever tried to break a bad habit, then you felt like you were climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops. Yeah. Well, here's a breath of fresh air. Fume is not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. It's an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. And instead of vapor, you use flavored air. Instead of electronics, it's completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, it uses delicious flavors. So instead of bad, the Fume habit is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing your habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial, so it's designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting too. That gives your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while you're breaking your habit. Plus, Fume just released a magnetic stand for your fume, so there's no more losing it around the house. It's right there. You can spin it and fidget with it with your fume, and you can start that off right now. If you go with, you can start that good habit off right now by going to tryfume.com/Steve. That's tryfume.com/Steve. You want to try the Journey Pack to get you started. And they're giving our listeners and viewers 10% off if you use my code Steve. If you want to start the good habit, that's much easier. You can do that at tryfume, F-U-M. F-U-M, tryfume.com/Steve. Get the Journey Pack and use my code Steve to get 10% off at tryfume.com. All right, are we ready for some Feedback Friday?
Hit it.
Sure.
All right, let's get it going. Let's start with Jeremy. He says, 15 years ago yesterday, I was sentenced to 10 years in prison for robbing a gas station. I was 18 years old when I was arrested and 19 years old at my sentencing. I grew up in the church, but I walked away from God 11 months prior to this. When I was sentenced, I had become a baby Christian. Now I'm 34. I've been out of prison for over 9 years. I graduated from Bible college in 2019. I got married in January of 2020. We have two boys, ages 3 and 1. I got my CDL last year, and we are trying to publish a pro-life children's book. God is great, and my life has been transformed. We are also planning on getting involved with a pregnancy center nearby. Thank you for what you all do. God bless. That's why we do what we do, man. We do what we do so we can hear more stories like that. Because ultimately, that is fundamentally the only way you change a culture. Is you build a critical mass of people who transcend from sinners to saints. Now, did I say majority? Did I say that?
No.
Did I even say plurality?
No.
No. I said, what was the term I used? Critical mass. Now, I don't know what that critical mass is. Sometimes it requires a majority, okay? Sometimes that critical mass is 110 people in an upper room in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
All right? So I don't know what the critical mass is. All right. You know, Gideon's like, I thought we needed a critical mass. And God's like, well, that's too many. And that's too many. 300 is the critical mass we're looking for. OK, David shows up with 5 smooth stones, man. That's the critical mass. I don't know what the critical mass is. I don't know. You know,
I do know that we got to sit Speaker of the House Mike Johnson down with this guy, because that right there is an actual biblical worldview.
Preach, preach. By the way, Mike Johnson, you were just telling me during the break, cast the deciding vote to let them continue to arrest you without warrants.
Yep.
I want everybody, I demand, in fact, everybody responsible for Mike Johnson becoming speaker. I want Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned against you. I want Jimmy Swaggart levels of remorse. That's what I want.
Or just say, hey, Hydra people, out loud.
No, or that.
The people in your text inbox, Steve, who were texting you around the time that this guy kind of came on the scene as House Speaker, what have they had to say recently?
Quiet as kept, brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Quiet as kept. Yeah. Because I'm like, I started asking him. Again, man, I'm not saying I'm the end all be all. I'm not, you know, I'm not the last line of defense with my thumb up and down within Christian conservative circles, far be it. But, you know, doing this for as long as I have and being involved in several presidential campaigns, it is fair to say I have a wide network of contacts, mm-hmm. because of those experiences. Fair?
Yeah.
And so when a guy who I've never heard of ever, and it's not like, hey, he's running for state legislature, running for governor. He's been in the Congress for nearly a decade, and he's the Speaker of the House, and I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. Can you see why maybe I was a tad suspicious? And now, I mean, how do you have a biblical worldview and be in the Congress for like more than 5 minutes and not have like alienated everybody? How's that possible, let alone for nearly a decade? How's that possible? How's it possible to have a biblical worldview and you're like, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here biding my time? I'm waiting for the moment. Okay. Goliath is in the Valley of Elah, dude. Everybody that was, all the grown men that were standing around as he was blaspheming the Lord, they were also waiting for their moment. Then a teenage boy just said, this is the moment. All right. If you truly have a biblical worldview, it's not like you're just like, we're in the trees waiting. Okay. Is there some strategy? Sure. right? Even Jesus says at times in the Gospels, now's not the time to go tell everybody what the miracle that you got, right? Okay. What about 8 years? You're just kind of waiting there with your biblical worldview, voting on legislation for 8 years, and just you're waiting for the right time to spring out on everybody. No, you're not Sun Tzu. You're Dorf on golf, okay? Or something worse. But then you get stories like Jeremy's. And that's what it's really all about. Yeah, I don't know if I don't know how well, you know, Jeremy bounces his eyes when an attractive woman comes by. Notice Mike Johnson and Mike Pence, by the way, have spoken quite a bit about that. You ever notice that? And hey, I've read Fred Stoker's a long time friend of mine, the guy that wrote Every Man's Battle. It's my battle. It is every man's battle. Okay. But have you noticed that that is taken to levels of piety by cowards? Have you noticed that? Like, that's the one thing in both cases where they have taken, like, adamant stances on. But then they can't apply that courage everywhere else. So, I reject your piety, and I raise you a Jeremy, who once robbed a gas station and went to prison. And has experienced true grace in his life and therefore truly understands, because he's been on the wrong side of the equation and not too distant futures and pasts. And so he knows how he's the darkness is still fresh to him. And he understands that it's going to probably take a little bit more than I bounce my eyes when Miss Yoga Pants comes into the Planet Fitness to get this thing done. Might take, you know, getting elected Speaker of the House and showing you actually have a set. Might take some of that. I'll take a Jeremy over all of your biblical worldview, flip boy, nice boys, any day of the week, twice on Sundays. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yep.
Thank you for that note, Jeremy. That was a great encouragement to us, man. God is good. Carol says, let me stop before I read Carol's note. I struggled to include Carol's note, because it was going to open up a can of worms that, for me personally, I'm not comfortable with. And then I realized that's exactly why I need to read Carol's note. Because I have said and done exactly what Carol is wrestling with right now. Okay? Carol says, in past years, I told family members that if they were voting for Democrats, who you know are pro-abortion, that means you have blood on your hands. How can I now vote for pro-abortion Republican candidates? I don't have an answer. I don't have a good answer for this. I don't know what to tell you. That's why I wasn't going to include your note, because it was very convicting to me. I've done this too.
Isn't this a redux of that conversation you had with your old friend, the late Jonathan Narciss?
Oh yeah. When I said this to him to his face.
Mm-hmm. And his response was what? I mean, you said, how can you vote for a party that that
how can you,
advocates
and
for
most
baby
of the time
killing?
He didn't vote for him. He stayed in their party. I mean, how can you even work with these people on any level?
And his response was,
because
what?
Because, hey, show me the Republican. Now, this was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we have some people that are better on this now than back then. Okay. Although it appears the current leader of the Republican Party is trying to make that no longer the case. He looked at me and said, well, tell me who then in your party I should be aligning with right now that's going to do something about this. And I just give speeches. Not just campaign on it, raise money on it. And I really couldn't come up with anybody, because that's pretty much all we were doing back then. Let me say this, thinking this through here now, in real time. Here's what I think. You know what? Let me do it this way. Let me attack this with another example. Good friend of mine. Him and his wife grew up in successful secular Jewish families. Separate families. I think he married the sister. Okay, let me clarify that. All right. Him and his wife grew up in successful secular Jewish families. Each of them did. Then they get married, and my buddy gets saved. I mean, like, radically saved. Okay. So now we've got a double unevenly yoked situation here. It would be difficult enough because he's radically saved and his wife is not. But now you throw in on top of this the traditional stigma that goes along with this within the Jewish community, okay? Going back to the apostles, basically, all right? So now he's a double freak, okay? I mean, now it's not just that he's got saved, you know, with this and married this wealthy party girl and she's not, but they're also now at odds with large swaths of their own respective families, okay? And so over the years, you know, him and I have had numerous conversations about just how to navigate that and, you know, those kinds of things. And I remember one time he called me about his sister-in-law, who had had several failed marriages and relationships and was now convinced after, you know, she was a lesbian. Apparently she didn't know the whole time she was getting married to men and happily consummating marriages with them. But apparently it's almost as if she said, you know, man, I gave team male a try. It didn't work out. Let me try the other team. Maybe I'll get a better relationship that way. Well, she has a shack-up girlfriend, and she wants her to come. She had been their guest at Thanksgiving every year, and now she wants to bring her shack-up girlfriend with her to stay with them in the house. So, you know, he's like, and his wife and her sister are very, very tight. And the wife did agree to let their son go to Christian school, you know, and so he's concerned about how to model this for him. You know, he was much younger at the time. And we were just, you know, praying through this and talking it through this one day. And I just felt led to ask him, hey, have you ever had any of your old college buddies since you put your faith in Christ, any of your old college or high school buddies come stay with you guys? Because he's very successful. They got a very nice home. They got plenty of room for guests. Any of your buddies ever come and stayed with you guys and they brought their shack ups? And you didn't say anything. He goes, why are you asking? I said, because if that occurred, you can't draw the line here. Because you're going to, that hypocrisy, that obvious hypocrisy. Oh, yeah. Sleeping in the guest room with somebody you're not married to is okay if it's hetero and not homo. That's the first thing she will pounce on to justify rejecting your leadership and the authenticity of your faith as it applies to this matter. And so if you did, then you got to own up to that and figure out how you can apologize for that and bring that up before she does, because she's going to. Luckily, that had never happened, okay? But you get the point that I'm driving at here?
Mm-hmm.
All right? I think kind of maybe the same thing applies here. I think what we can't do, you know, let your yes be your yes, your no be your no. How serious does God take our word and us giving it? There's a story in the Old Testament about this group of people in Canaan who essentially trick the Jews. They see God as with the Jews and conquering all these people. And so they pretend, they get dressed up and they pretend like they came from far away when really they were like the next people on the list to get eliminated. Mm-hmm. Right? And they show up and make it look like they're travelers and they are great admirers of this new God in Canaan and the mighty works he's doing and cut a deal with us. We want to be on the winning team. And so the Jews don't even vet him, don't even care. You got it, man. They cut the deal, right? Then they find out that the whole thing was a sham. God made him keep that word. Made him keep it. Because they still gave their word. Even if it was on a faulty premise. Because it was also the canard that they fell for, right? So he made him keep that word. So what I would say is here's what we can't ever do. And that's not going to look the same for everybody, okay? But we cannot let, we cannot lose our integrity in any of these worldly processes, no matter how important they are at the time. We can't. And if we do, we have to own that and repent. So I would say in your case, Carol, for you, if you have made this proclamation to members of your family on the credibility and integrity of your testimony, then you can't go back on that. Because the number one thing we have to do is maintain the integrity of our testimony from our Lord. Our life is not our own. And so he gave us that testimony, right?
Yeah.
He gave you that principle that you exhibited here, right? That you communicated here. And then you chose to take that to the extent that you did. So I kind of think like you've got to own that now. And put the integrity of your testimony ahead of an election outcome. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's good advice as it applies to her and her unique standards.
This, I think, would apply universally. How it's applied would be unique to your situation, like her unique situation.
Yeah, and that's what my next point was going to be about now, how taking what you did with her and applying it universally. Just notice what Steve at no point even tried to do. And I don't even think he mentioned this person's name once. What Steve said has nothing to do with the name Donald Trump. Obsessing about him, or it had to be you, your relationship with the Lord, the life you've walked. Donald Trump is probably going to up the ante. He's going to make this harder for more and more people.
I think by the end of this campaign, he will say you should have a constitutional right to an abortion.
Yeah, and within the Republican Party and others around, I'm just saying, if you try to make this a unique riddle about Donald Trump, you have so diminished the power of your faith by making him the plumb line. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
You're basically the Southern Baptist Convention, because that's what that denomination
did. He's not the plumb line. The Republicans aren't the plumb line. Your baseball team isn't the plumb. God's the plumb line. We keep doing this in reverse. We keep trying to find a way to make our faith somehow fit into what our idol really is. Steve wouldn't let you do that. The example he said about things you've said before to other people, that's your testimony. Donald Trump is not your testimony. Be clear about that first and foremost.
Amen. And lest it's easy, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to make whatever mascot du jour your testimony. It's the easiest thing to do. But what is a good definition of faith? It's a good definition of faith, a belief in things unseen.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to place your faith in things you can see, even through a screen, in our fallen nature, than it is to place your faith where it truly needs to be. And this is for believer, and especially, by definition, unbeliever alike. It's still easy in our fallen nature, and the battle against our flesh, to put our faith in things we can see. It's better to relate to people. The things we can see will save us instead of what should truly be our plumb line for how we view everything, especially the most important issues of the day. So be encouraged. This is not unique to this time. It will not be unique in the future. It's not unique in the past. But we do have to keep first things first every single day. This goes for all three of us on this show as well. Because I can tell you, I'll just speak for myself, the way I think in the morning, given the news that I consume, the information that I consume, these guys can tell you, it'll change by 5 p.m., 6 p.m.
Hopefully it's because I'm trying to put everything through that plumb line. Sometimes it's because I'm not, and sometimes it's just my flesh speaking. That goes for everybody within the sound of our voices.
Amen. Hey, making sure you have fruits and vegetables in your diet is important for maintaining a healthy diet, but it can also be difficult, especially if you're busy. The average person doesn't even eat half of the recommended servings in a day. That's a huge gap in nutrition. Inflation certainly hasn't made these produce items any cheaper as well. That's why Balance of Nature is where you want to look for your on-the-go solution. They haven't raised their prices, folks, in 10 years. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables comes in easy-to-swallow capsules and will give your body so much of the nourishment it needs. Imagine trying to eat 31 different kinds of produce in a single day. Well, that's what you're getting with Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. So when you go to balanceofnature.com, I've been using this for the last few weeks, guys. Love it. Absolutely love it. And I've definitely seen an uptick in my energy level, too. All right, so go to balanceofnature.com. You get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer if you use my discount code DACE. All right, that's limited to 5 sets, but you'll still save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. Balanceofnature.com. Use the code DACE for 35% off. That's balanceofnature.com. Use the code DACE for 35% off. James writes, a few weeks ago, I got COVID, had it once in 2021. I wrote you a couple of years ago saying I didn't get the jab despite being a federal government employee. The physician's assistant I saw a few weeks ago was shocked that I didn't get the jab and was surprised that she said, and I was surprised that she said she was glad I didn't get it because, quote, she has seen a lot of injuries, end quote. She also shared that she used to prescribe ivermectin, but corporate refused to allow them to do it anymore out of fear of lawsuits. I almost sent you that email several times, but I didn't because I know you get many emails like that already. The reason why I'm finally emailing you this time is because at least 2 young people have died suddenly that my wife knows. I hate to say that I thought there would be some type of relief that we didn't take the jab, but with these died suddenly instances, there is no joy, only sadness and righteous anger. Please don't ever stop talking about this because these people need to be held accountable. I mean, we had a member of Congress say yesterday that ivermectin is a horse dewormer. Ivermectin won the Nobel Prize in 2015 as a medication for human beings. James, thank you for the reminder and the encouragement. But in this case, if anything, I might need to be encouraged to move on at least a little bit because I can still obsess about this thing quite a bit. Because the damage is ongoing, James, as your email just quantified for us. And there has been no justice. In fact, many of the people responsible for it are getting reelected, book deals. They're getting rewarded for it instead. So I appreciate the encouragement. I'm very sorry about some young people that your wife knows, but I've heard that story many times. And so I'll never forget this. However long I have or we have, I'll be bringing this up the rest of my time here until heads are swinging from trees. After a fair trial, of course. You guys want to add anything?
It's like we're... Is this what the biblical plagues felt like? And you just one after another, and you just think, what? Fine, we'll stop. Oh, no! Transgenderism, COVID... loss of liberties, the economy, like there's, we're so stiff-necked. We simply cannot be moved. So which plague is finally going to break our back? It's going to be bad. It's really bad.
Well, I don't think we're going to stop
talking about this anytime soon. If we did, we would be doing all of you a disservice. Although I'm sure a few people, as have been documented in the past, would love us to stop talking about it. But we're just, that can't happen. Yes, I understand that eventually, if it's not in this life, it will be in the next one. There will be justice. And you have to believe that, and you have to go forth with that knowledge. That as long as we have a microphone in front of us, we cannot stop. What has been done, again, we have run out of words. We've run out of different ways to say the same thing on various levels. But I don't know. You can tell I've run out of words. It's just heartbreaking over and over and over again. The literal heartbreak in some cases. What do you say? What do you say in the face of that evil that just so many people, regardless of their political tribes, want to move on or want to take pot shots at, like you just discussed with a member of Congress? What do you say to that? God have mercy on all of us that we don't deserve.
And you read this, Steve, you probably saw this. You read this the very same day that now NBC is coming out with a new report that's saying the COVID mRNA jabs have nothing to see here, nothing to see here. It's not as if we're chipping away at it. We're getting there. No, the propaganda right now in 2024 is just as thick as it ever was. Mm-hmm. And the want to of a lot of people who should know better to hug that propaganda. And again, there's no demand. There simply is no demand for just the magical power of vaccines is so intoxicating. They have been, this wasn't just a COVID thing. And this was my point all along. We have been conditioned for so long. I know we think we're free. We're rats in a maze. We're Pavlov's dog.
I don't know what else to say about it either. That's why I read these stories, because everybody's story is unique and deserves to be heard. But without those stories, I wouldn't know what else to say. Sadly, these stories continue, though. So the house across the street yesterday had a for sale sign in the yard. And I was coming back from Lifton this morning, and I see the first couple going in with an agent to check it out. And I got to tell you, one of the first things I thought was, hope they got a real estate agent they can trust, man, because it is a tricky market out there. So if you are getting in the real estate market, and it could be because you have no choice, it could be because you're like, you know what, this is actually a great time to be a buyer if you're willing to pay 100% higher interest rates, because there's a dearth of us right now. Maybe I can get a really good home, at a much more competitive price than if real estate or if mortgage rates were cheaper. Whichever is the case for you, just make sure you dare not venture forth into the Let's Go Brandon real estate economy without an agent you can trust. You're going to find them at realestateagentsitrust.com. A lot of times they come from right here in our own audience, so they share a lot of the same values with a lot of you. They're the top sellers in their markets. They know the best practices to get you to where you want to go. So make sure before you go and get into the real estate market, you go in with an agent you can trust, and you're going to find them where the name says it all. realestateagentsitrust.com. Once again, that's realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, let's get back to some Feedback Friday. This is from Kevin Smith. He says, a few weeks ago, the local Alphabet Soup Brigade invaded a local family event, set up a booth, and displayed perversion to hundreds of children in my community. I stood alone outside, kept on the sidewalk by TWO, stunningly brave police officers, engaging every attendee I could, warning them of what they were about to encounter and sharing the gospel with them. I'd emailed perhaps 25 local pastors. Mine would have come but became ill the day before and couldn't leave the couch for the weekend. I was terrified, but I'd given my word and I couldn't back down. It was a good day. I had several awesome conversations, one with a local reporter who got to hear the gospel and seemed intrigued. I met the mayor of this town of 10,000. Being the brave and intrepid soul he is, he told me he thought the homos had as much right to be there as the various Christian organizations. I told him with Republicans like him, we didn't need any Democrats. I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me the same thing. I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me the same thing. I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me the same thing. I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me the same thing. I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me the same thing. That's seven times. Unfortunately, no walls came down. Back to the note. God help us. A member of the Chamber of Commerce approached me with some of his friends. He disapproved of my gospel tract and after listening for a few seconds told me, "But you're making people uncomfortable." I couldn't hold back the laughter. "Good. It's about damn time," I replied. The lesbian heavyweight world champion threatened to effing punch me in my effing face. I said, "Aw, so you're one of the happy ones," I inquired. I couldn't help it. I'm a 13-year-old boy inside. "You frequently lament the lack of men in our society willing to do anything. I have a theory. Premillennial dispensational theology may not be the sole driver here, but it ain't helping. Cloister off into our churches, hide your light, Jesus is going to rapture us away any minute now. Don't bother cleaning up this hellhole, he'll take care of all of it. Keep fighting the good fight." There's a million things in that we could discuss there. But
last night,
one last thing.
Yeah.
The thing that sticks out to me is, I spoke with a pastor of a large church who told me it was totally fine to peddle perversion in front of the kids. They had a right to do that. That, to me, more than anything, is what sticks out to me. Go ahead, Aaron.
I just want to interject that about the eschatological comment at the end. Last night, I went to B-dubs with one of my buddies, and I went on this spiel about just some critiques, concerns I have about pre-mill eschatology with him, to the point where I could see the look on his face where it's like, "Aaron, would you stop talking now? Just shut up. Stop talking." This morning, I get in and I see this tweet from Marco Rubio. And it says, "Barring some last-minute development, Iran is going to attack Israel. The response and risk of escalation will depend on what and how they attack." And I sent that to this buddy on Twitter. And I said to him, "Dust off all those Left Behind books and forget everything I said last night about premillennial eschatology." That's where I'm at with that.
I'm at. I spoke with the pastor of the large church in town, and he told me it was totally fine to peddle porn to the kids.
Until that changes, then I don't care.
I don't care what your eschatology is. Yeah.
We got one of those here with the devil statue. Yeah, sure. Man, dear Christian, stop talking about the notion of rights with people who by now, it is abundantly clear, have told you they don't care. It's one thing where the social contract has engaged enough people of differing opinion when there is a set of fundamentals that everybody agrees that the rule of the game is what it is. You are playing touch football over here.
Yeah.
They are playing.
You're making sure. You're making sure you say for Mississippi and you enunciate Mississippi all four times. Yes.
You don't agree on the rules at all. Stop this nonsense. This is exactly why the Lord himself said, "Why is a serpent innocent as doves?" You're failing badly, Jesus person.
But they know
badly.
This. I have come to the conclusion in many cases they know this. That's why they're doing it. This is a fig leaf.
Yep.
The pursuit of decorum gives me an excuse to not do a damned thing. Okay? That's really what it is. I mean, this is permission for me to not engage. that I'm upholding the rules. And then you can self-righteously justify it as, I'm doing the right thing. It's not my fault that they wouldn't abide by the rules, and therefore I'm off the hook. I don't have to get confrontational. Everything we do, by and large, is to feed one thing and avoid one thing. More than anything else, everything is about comfort, feeding comfort, and avoiding confrontation. Everything. Why is pornography so rampant? I have the comfort of I can get my sexual release whenever I want, and I can avoid the confrontation of a woman might reject me. I might have to take care of her. I might have to get a job. You see what I'm, everything boils down to feed my comfort, let me avoid confrontation. Everything does. Everything. Pick anything. Just like a couple years ago, I told you, pick any issue, and it either originated or it was exacerbated by COVID, right? Anything. Election fraud. Well, they gave him $400 million to ballot harvest, and that gave it, because it wasn't safe to go out and vote. Now they've got the excuse to go and just do mail-in ballots. See what I'm saying? Every issue either is because of COVID or was exacerbated by it. On a deeper level, on a cultural level, everything in this culture has two drivers. Feed my comfort, help me avoid confrontation. Give me permission to not have to do it. Everything is. This idea of loving people into the kingdom as if a guy breaks into your home, let's do it this way. You come home from work and the front door is wide open in the middle of the day, you know something's wrong, and you hear screaming. And someone is in your home assaulting your wife, and you beat the living crap out of them, is the most loving thing you could do. That's all a crock. I built this suburban monstrosity, and I built this outreach temple, and the people will just come to me, and I won't have to confront anything. Wrong. You built a temple to yourself. That's what you built. It's happened before. Solomon did the same thing. Everything is to feed comfort and avoid confrontation. Everything is. Those are the two twin towers. Those are the Isengard and Mordors of America. Feed my comfort. Give me an excuse to avoid confrontation. This is why we go after the men so often. Because whom is to take the lead in God's economy when it comes to confrontation? Whose job is that? Yeah. Ours. As we pointed out many times, Eve is being tempted. Where's Adam? Did the enemy wait until Adam was gone and corner Eve on his own? Nope. He's standing right there, doing nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A chapter ago, he's given dominion over all of creation by the Creator. He could have literally snapped the neck of the serpent right there. Did nothing. And ever since, everything is about feeding our comfort and avoiding confrontation. This is why our colleague Jason Whitlock is having the event that he's having in Nashville on June 1. All right, it's called the Fearless Army Roll Call. If you want to go to this event, presented by our friends over at Preborn, it's an encouragement and in fellowship of men to get together and perform and have not just the obligations that God gave them, the honor. It is an honor to have children and to get to provide for them, to get to protect them, to get to nurture them, to get to watch them grow. That is an honor. So if you want to go to this event, FearlessArmyRollCall.com is where you can go to reserve your spot. FearlessArmyRollCall.com. Get your tickets today at FearlessArmyRollCall.com. That, I could do that show for the next 9 hours, that topic right there. I mean, I could just find all kinds of tentacles to that one. Let's move on. Mike writes, I just watched your episode on YouTube that was titled People Only Want Cultural Christianity. It hits me pretty hard because I do read the Bible daily. I pray daily, and I'm presently working on a close friend of mine. You'd love him. He's also a diehard Michigan fan, and I want him to know Jesus. He was a hardcore atheist, but now, in his humbled state, admits that he doesn't have all the answers. So we started last night attending a group gathering at a church of agnostics for, or a church gathering at, or a group gathering at church for agnostics who are questioning the truth. When I hear you talk, I don't want to be the Christian who hears the word and is excited but withers up. I want to finish the race. I'm reaching out to you as you spoke of complacent Christians. This is not what I want to be. I just don't know what the next step is. I'm hoping you can shed some insight, as living for Christ is what I desire, but perhaps I'm not living to my fullest potential. I appreciate you and your thoughts if you have any. Thank you, Mike. Number one, the mundane is okay. Much of your life is not going to be me answering an altar call at Promise Keepers. It's going to be me mowing the lawn, getting Noah up for school. Why do we know the names of the masons who made the who laid the foundation of the temple? You ever thought about that? Like, why do we know all these names of all these workers and they don't show up anywhere else? Because maybe by comparison, the work they did was mundane compared to a prophet, you know, bringing woe and lamentation, but that doesn't mean it was not very important. Nothing wrong with the mundane. Nothing wrong with, I'm going to glorify God in everything I do. That's number one. I'm going to try to glorify God in everything I do. At work, my relationships, I'm going to try to do that. Number two, I'm going to make myself open when opportunities present themselves. You're doing that. You had an atheist buddy. God has used you to help move him to an agnostic. You're engaging him. You're looking for opportunities. By the way, you're not engaging him, by the way. Can we throw that word out? You're confronting him. You might be doing so in an engaging manner, but you have confronted him. That's good. So look for opportunities to confront. Again, confrontation isn't a method or an attitude any more than love is. Like I said a few minutes ago, what's the loving thing, to go in and ask the person assaulting my wife to please stop, or to beat the hell out of him until he does? What's the more loving thing, do you think?
You know the answer to that.
Of course I do. It's the latter. So confrontation, let's not create a ditch that goes the other way, an idol that goes the other way. Confrontation isn't a tone either. It's not a behavior either. It's a mindset. I mean, listen to the email I just read from the guy. Went out there on the street. Hey, I had some good conversations. We joked around. But he's confronting people, right? Confrontation isn't a tone any more than love is. Love is an action and a motivation, and that's what confrontation is. It's a motivation that leads to action. That's the same thing love is. Motivation that leads to action. So you're doing that. And here's the third thing. I would urge you to do exactly what you're doing with this note. Keep asking. What more could I do? What am I missing? That keeps your heart humble. That lets God know that you're available. And he'll give you more opportunities. And if you're faithful in this little bit, he'll make sure that you have an opportunity to be faithful even more. It doesn't require like a 400-page book or a 25-step plan. I want to live for the glory of God. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunities that he gives me to confront. And I'm going to remember the confrontation. You know, when God confronts Adam after the fall, what does he do? Adam, what you doing? We don't have words that he... Idiot, fool, come over here. That was undeserved. And not that God does not do that at times in the Bible. He does. Okay, again, but just as love is not a tone or behavior, neither is confrontation. When you dropped a four-letter word in Nana's house and Nana gave you that look in between while she was making you your favorite banana bread or blueberry muffins, that was a confrontation, was it not?
It was.
And you were like, my bad, Nana, won't do that again. No, you won't, son. Or we won't be making these blueberry muffins anymore. All right? Confrontation and love are not tones or attitudes. They're motivations that lead to action. So try to glorify God in everything you can, everything you do. Take advantage of the opportunities to confront this world when he opens them up to you. and then make yourself available for further opportunities. I think it's just really that simple. Didn't say it was easy, but I think it's really just that simple. It's okay. The mundane is okay. Not everything has to be a great event. In fact, most things aren't going to be. Before we get out of here, don't forget about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Thankfully, one place where the parallel economy is fully available to us is with the one product we all pretty much have to have nowadays to thrive in modern society, which would be our mobile phones. Make the switch today. If you're a veteran or first responder, let them know when you're going to make the switch. They have extra ways of saying thank you for your service. All of us who make the switch today to their outstanding customer service team, and they'll make sure you can keep your phone, switch your phone. You can keep your number, switch your number. They'll customize it for you. Make sure you use my name, Steve, as your promo code to get a free activation when you go to patriotmobile.com/Steve. That's patriotmobile.com/Steve with the offer code Steve. We're going to stick around and do overtime for Blaze TV for subscribers. For the rest of you, have a great weekend. Until then, Monday, Romans 8:28.